Okay, so firstly, a big Yasher Koyach to Family Marcus once again. It's a pleasure to be here. Always Reish V'Rishoin, L'chol Dovash B'Gedusha, Family Marcus, and you should be Zeicha, Be'ezus Hashem, to continue to bring much Torah into your home, and it'll Be'ezus Hashem bring you much Hatzlocha and Siyata Dishmaya. We, Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, here in Eretz Yisrael, have begun Shnas Hashmito. We are now 7 days into the Shemitah, and Rosh Verishon, we have to consider it a tremendous zuchus. Only a couple of months ago, I was in England, and I met somebody there. He says to me, what are you learning in Kollel? So I told him, I'm learning Hilcha Shemitah. So he said to me, why? I said, because it's almost Shemitah. Ah, I didn't realize. Unfortunately, some people in this country also don't realize. I went into a Sforim shop recently, and there was sitting somebody at the counter, clearly not Shema Torah Mitzvahs. I said, you have any Sforim on Shemitah? He says, I don't understand. Everybody's asking me the same question. Why? I said, because it's almost Shemitah. You need to know what to do. So he says to me, well, why can't you just do whatever you did last year? I said, Shemitah wasn't last year. It was 7 years ago. So I'll call upon him those who are Shemrei Shemitah, which is hopefully as many people that we are Zeicha to. We are the ones who are privileged to be keeping these halachas here in Eretz Yisrael. And it's so important not only to be aware of the halachas, which we'll discuss briefly in a moment, but the yesod, the inyan of Shemitah. Just like when we are Shema Shabbos, we want to know what the inyan of Shabbos is. We keep the mitzvahs of Sukkah and Tefillah and whatever it may be. We want to know what's the mitzvah teaching us. And above all, the mitzvah of Shemitah is a time in which we can and must be mischazik in the middah, and the avoida of emuna and bitochin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We leave the field fallow for a year, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Ki li kol aretz. The aretz is mine, you can rely on me. And if you do rely on me, then you'll feel that tremendous security. The Chovos Halvavos, which is really our Shulchan Aruch, as it were, on the laws of bitochin, gives us a one-line working definition with which we can understand what does it mean to be Boiteach BaKadosh Baruch Hu, I trust Hashem. What does that mean? I trust. We all know HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and He runs our life. We all know that. That's not a chiddush. So what does it mean to be Boiteach? So I just want to read you one line, and halavai we should be zeicha to see a fulfillment of this line. And he says, Mahus HaBetochein. What is the nature of Betochein? Two tremendous words, and we should all daven that we should be zeicha to this. And he says, you know what it is? Menuchas nefesh. Menuchas nefesh. Serenity. Peace of mind. There has never been an era in which we suffer from less peace of mind. We are so busy with all our time-saving devices that who's got any time to think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We're running here, we're running there, we're checking our emails, and we're busy with this and busy with that. The avoida of Shemitah is to be mischazik in bitochen b'HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which brings about a tremendous menuchas hanefesh. A tremendous menuchas hanefesh. Baruch hagever asher yivtach b'Hashem. Baruch, he's blessed. He leads a tranquil, blessed life. And you see, with great tzaddikim and oivdim, and we can all be one of those who are boiteach b'Kadosh Baruch Hu, they are able to navigate the difficulties of life, and we all have them, with tranquility, with peace of mind, with serenity. It doesn't mean that we don't feel difficulty. If somebody steps on our toe, it hurts. If we endure other nisyonos, we can experience pain and hardship. That's not what we're talking about. But we never lose that serenity, that peace of mind, that we feel that we are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that everything is under control. I once heard a frightening story. The Tzanzer Rebbe, Gleisenberger Rebbe, was in the death camps, as we know, in Auschwitz. Any story about the Tzanzer Rebbe is just mind-blowing, humbling, moving. Tzanzer Rebbe, who lost his wife and 11 children, came here to Eretz Yisrael, and he built up his own life and that of his Hasidus. One Yom Kippur, there, in Auschwitz, in the death camps, He rallied round those who were in the camps with him, and he says, let's daven. Daven, who's got a machzeh? Who knows the davening baal peh? And the Rebbe said, I know the davening. But above all, let's go through the al-chait. Let's go through the al-chait. Al-chait. Who committed any aveiras in Auschwitz? Who had the koyach to commit any aveiras in Auschwitz? The Rebbe opens the theoretical machzeh. And he begins, Aleph, Al-Chayt Shechotonu Lefonecho Ba'oynes U'Baratzen. And he says, Rabbeinu Shalaylam, that doesn't apply to us. We were not Chayte, not Ba'oynes U'Baratzen. We didn't have any koyach. Next. Al-Chayt Shechotonu Lefonecho Be'imutz Halev. We didn't give Stocker properly. Stocker, which money did we have to give Stocker? Rabbeinu Shalaylam, we're not guilty of that either. Doesn't apply to us. Next, base, gimel, dalet, the al-chit goes from aleph to tof. And one by one, the Rebbe says, this doesn't apply to us. Rabbeinu shel olam, this doesn't apply to us. How can we possibly be considered guilty of stealing? Horror, there's nothing to steal, and we had no koyach to steal anyway. And he goes through one by one, Rabbeinu shel olam, this doesn't apply to us, this doesn't apply to us, this doesn't apply to us, this doesn't apply to us. And he gets right to the end of the list, and he says, none of this applies to us. And then he turned around and he said to them, but, my dear brothers, there's one al-chait that we do have to clap. Al-chait that here in Auschwitz we lost our bitochen in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. For that we have to bang al-chait. Which one of us could confidently say, he said to them, that amidst all the hardships, but we still felt that security. We still felt Biyodayim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because if we didn't, then we have at least one al-chait for which we have to ask Mechila for. So what do we say in our comfortable lives, in our comfortable homes, and yet, with all the comfort, the relative comfort, every person, without exception, there is no exception to this rule, every person endures some sort of hardship and nisyonos, whether it be in parnosa or in health or in shalom bayis or in ruchnius or in gashmius, every single person. And if one endures a hardship and it feels hard and difficult, there's nothing wrong with that. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. But the menuchas ha-nefesh, that serenity, that feeling of everything's under control, everything is preordained, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what he's doing and there's a plan. And this is the best for me. I might not yet understand. I might not see why it has to be this way, but I feel I'm in the Yodayim Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the young baby who might be experiencing pain, but as long as that child's in the arms of his mother, he's ragua. He feels that menuchas ha-nefesh. We daven every day. Every single day we daven to be zeicha, to be tochen. Where do we daven for it? One of the brachas in Shmona Esrim. Ala tzadikim, bala chasidim, those who are boiteach v'ashem, and we say, v'sim chalkeinu imohem lo'olam. We want to have our chelek. Our chelek should be with them. We should also be boiteach b'kodesh baruch hu. Because it's very, very easy to talk about bitochen. Extremely easy. Especially when you're lecturing other people about their bitochen, it's even easier. I have a Talmud in Ramah Aleph, who unfortunately is very unwell, and his wife tells me the hardest thing that they're going through is not the sickness. The hardest thing is when people lecture them, yeah, but you have to have bitochen b'kadosh baruch hu. Very, very easy to talk about it, but to live it is a different thing. So we daven to the Rabbeinu Shalom every day, v'sim chalkeinu imoyim lo'olam. We wish that our chelek is with the tzaddikim and with the ziknei amcha who are boiteach b'kodesh baruch hu. But then we say some very strange words, and we have to appreciate this. We say this every day of our life. We say, v'loy neivosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I don't want to be embarrassed. V'loy neivosh, ki b'cho b'tochnu. I don't want to be embarrassed because I want to be boiteach in you. What does that mean? Why? If I'm boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will I not be embarrassed? And if I'm not boiteach in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why will I be embarrassed? Maybe if I don't keep Shabbos, I should be embarrassed. Why would I be embarrassed for not having betochen in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So I was thinking to myself, everybody really could demonstrate this with perhaps their own moshel, but the following moshel comes to mind. Reuben and Shimon, very, very close friends. And Reuben tells his close friend Shimon, he says, Shimon, I've got great news for you. You know, I've got an only daughter, the apple of my eye, and she's getting married in a few weeks, and I'd like to invite you to the chasana. Of course, you're my closest friend, and this is going to be chasana of the year. You have never seen a wedding like this. Everything, every detail has been planned. We've sat for hundreds of hours planning and designing and preparing. This is going to be the chasana of all chasanas. In fact, not only that, we've brought in a special menahel ulam, a hall manager above the existing hall managers to make sure everything is in place, and I want you to be there, my closest friend. This is a chasna not worth missing. Comes the big day, and he comes to his friend's chasna, and true enough, it's breathtaking. The cutlery and the flowers and the music and the decor, and it's unbelievable. They all go out to the chuppah, so moving, very emotional, his only daughter, and this is the big day, Yom Chuppasim. Suddenly this Shimon, the friend, notices that in the hall all the lights suddenly go out. Power cut, seems to be. Everything out, no air conditioning, no lights, nothing. And he feels so sorry for Reuben. Reuben prepared this whole chasna down in the middle of the chuppah. Everyone's going back into the hall, and it's going to be dark and hot. So he tries to signal to his friend, Reuben, look what's there. Reuben's there, calm, enjoying this special moment. Figures, you know, I've got to take this into my own hands. He dashes back into the hall. He knows he's going to miss the chuppah. He's got no choice. He looks around. What? Which way? He tries banging switches. Nothing helps. He opens the electricity board. He starts flicking switches up, down. There's a spark. There's an explosion. There's a bang. There's smoke pouring out. He doesn't know what he's doing. Suddenly, they call in the fire brigade. Everybody comes back into the hall, and as expected, it's pitch dark. There's now smoke filling the hall, and Reuben, his friend, comes up to him and says, Shimon, what's going on? What do you... He said, I signaled to you, I showed you, I said all the lights went out, all electricity, I tried to help things out, I don't know, there's a big bang and explosion, I've clearly caused the whole electricity. He says, Shimon, who asked you to get involved? This was all designed. This was all part of my plan. I arranged, I told you, I bought a menahel ulam. And I told him that when we go out to the chuppah, turn the lights off in the hall because I don't want anybody to be inside. It's so special for me that everybody will be outside. And he did that the minute we walked out and the minute we walked back. He was going to turn it all. Who asked you to get involved? I told you this was all under control. Not only have you missed the chuppah of your closest friend, you've now ruined my whole chasna because now there really is no electricity. What a busha. What a busha he feels. It's true, he told him there was a menahel ulam. Everything was under control. That's what we're dancing for. V'sim chalkeinu imoyim lo'ilam v'lo inevoish ki b'chobo tochno. I don't want to be embarrassed. Because one day the picture will become clear that there was a menahel ulam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was running the show. Everything was under control. We did understand. We didn't understand. Why did the lights go out when everybody got... I don't know, but there's a menahel ulam. Who asked me to get involved? Why did I lose my serenity? Why did I run around like a headless chicken, so mutrad and so bothered and terrified and upset? There's a menahel ulam. Everything is under control. That's what we're davening for every day. We're davening that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us that menuchas hanefesh, to understand that we don't always understand, but at least to feel that we are in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even when things are difficult, and inevitably, on occasion they are, but there's a menahel ulam. It's under control. There's a plan. Every detail of our life has been planned, and that's our tefillah, and this is really the avodah in the Shnas HaShmitah. In our kehillah, Baruch Hashem, we have begun, thanks to the Mashkiach, Rav Backschlitter, a series of Vadim once a week on the Inyone Emunah Bitochen. I asked him, please, I think this is the most appropriate Inyan and Shmitah, and of course he agreed, and it's a tremendous chizuk. It says so much, I think, about our Kehillah on Shabbos afternoon, on the Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, on the last line of the Drasha, I said, Rabbi Yisai, Shmitah is a time of Emunah Bitochen. I'd like to learn Chovos Avoda Shara Bitochen. If anybody's interested to learn with me b'chavrusa, please let me know. We started Mincha. By the end of Mincha, I had 3 chavrusas already. We started the shiur. The next morning, 12 people came. That's what Kilas Darcha Yitzchak is about. B'nei Aliyah, we are not just here to survive the Shemitah. We want to be Misroimim and understand the limud of Shemitah. And the main limud of Shemitah is this inyan of b'mischazik in emuna and bitochen. Be'ezas Hashem, maybe after the Chagim, we'll try and organize for the Neshei of the Kehillah. It won't obviously be as often as once a week, certainly not every day, but maybe once a week. Maybe we should be in touch with each other. Be'ezas Hashem, I think it would be a very worthwhile project, maybe once a month, either myself, or maybe the Mashkiach Shlita can give us a shiur on Emunah and Bitochen. I think this will be very, very timely and very, very appropriate. It's important at this stage of the year, having just entered the Shemitah, to know not just the halachas, some of which we mentioned in a previous shiur, but really what I want to talk about now, just for a few moments before we talk for a couple of moments about Yom Kippur, is how we have to have our eyes open. At the moment, you have to know where to shop, and what to do with what you buy. You have to have your eyes open. And the reason why you have to have your eyes open is because it might well be that there are stores that all the rest of the years have a certain hechsher, and it comes to Shemitah and that changes. Worse still, there could be certain products which always have a certain hechsher, but that's say the Charedis or She'eris, whatever it may be, and it comes to the Shnas HaShemitah and all of a sudden there's a different hechsher, and you might be surprised. So you have to have your eyes open. You have to check every product, you have to check every store. And I would request, if anybody does notice something alarming or strange, please be in touch with me. It's a mitzvah to publicize this to the Kehillah. There could be mistakes, and if anybody can help out, then it's be their zuchus. One needs to know the general rule. There are one or two details, and then we'll go through the various stores which I was in touch with and visited today. What are we trying to avoid? What must we be aware of? We need to be aware that there can exist during the year of Shemitah, and in fact after the year of Shemitah, products, fruit, or vegetables that have Kedushas Shvius, What we do with items that have Kedushas Shvius, maybe we'll get to in a moment, but we need to be aware that there are items available in the market which have Kedushas Shvius. If they have Kedushas Shvius, and there are various halachas that we need to be aware of. This can be avoided by purchasing products that do not have Kedushas Shvius. What has Kedushas Shvius? So fruit and vegetables is what we're talking about for the moment. Obviously, it only has Kedusha if it is from the Shnas HaShvius. If it's from the first, second, third, fourth, and fifth, and sixth year, then it has no Kedusha. After the Shemitah, Topshin Pei Gimel, from the eighth year, it has no Kedusha. So if it's a seventh year product, it has Kedusha. Now, what does that mean, a seventh year product? We know that some products, fruit, vegetables, might well have been planted last year, but picked this year. So is that called a sixth or a seventh year? And the answer is very simple. There's a difference between peiros and yirokos. When it comes to a yirokos, vegetables, we look not when it was planted, but when it was picked. If it was picked in the Shemitah, then it has Kedusha. When it comes to peiros, is when it was planted, or at least when it reached a certain point of its development. Which means, in the halacha lemaisa, that now, right today, I was in the store today, there are yirokos that have kedushas shvius. There cannot be peiros at the moment which have kedushas shvius, because as we mentioned, peiros only have kedusha if they were planted in the shnas hashmita. Clearly, any pre, even if it was planted since Rosh Hashanah, is obviously not yet in the stores. So what could be in the stores? Yirokos that were planted last year, but if they were picked this year, then they have Kedusha. If they were picked this year, they have Kedusha. Peiros will only begin to have Kedusha Shvius, probably later on in the season from about the spring, and one has to be aware of this. This will last us into the summer and then into the Shnas Hashminis as well. Again, because it was planted in the seventh year, or at least it reached a certain stage of its development. So for the moment, at least until the springtime, Purim Pesach, Peiros is not an issue. Peiros is not an issue. Any apple or peach or grapes that you'll see in the market is all from Shishis, and therefore has no Kedusha whatsoever, is not an issue. The issue might be the Yerokis. I went into a store today, they have cucumbers that have Kedushas Shvius, according to some opinions. Why is that? Because they were picked after Rosh Hashanah. The fact that they were planted before Rosh Hashanah is irrelevant, because when it comes to Yerokis, we look at when it was picked. There is a further issue, I don't want to get involved for the moment, called Svichin, which is that Yerokis that were actually planted in the Shemitah are not allowed to be eaten anyway. So all Yerokis eventually will have to come from either Chutz La'aretz or other Heterim. We're not going to get involved in that for the moment. One needs to know, upon a lot of research and inquiries, this is what emerges now on the bottom line. Here in Bet Shemesh, there are two basic Hechsherim which we can all rely on Lechatchila. Number one, the Bedatz Eda Charedis, and number two, the Hechsher of Rav Efrati from Yerushalayim. Rav Efrati, as we know, was the big Talmud and right-hand man of Rav Eliashiv, Zecher Tzadik, the Kodesh Livrocha. There might be a third Hechsher on the market as well, that of the She'eris Yisrael, the She'eris. At the moment, it's not so prevalent. It's unclear whether they will bring products into the market at a later stage. If they do, it can be relied upon 100%. But at the moment, the Hechsherim that exist and can be relied upon, Bedatz Eda Charedis, and the Hechsherim of Reb Efrati. The big question, and this needs to be pointed out, I don't want to get into all the halachic background, I just want to mention the bottom line. If you want to go into a store and you would like to buy today, Monday night, a cucumber that has no Kedusha Shvius. So as we mentioned, if it was picked today in a Jewish-owned field here in Eretz Yisrael, then it has Kedusha Shvius. Not the end of the world. There's no Issa to buy it. You're allowed to eat peiros that have Kedusha Shvius and Yerokos. You just have to know how to deal with them. How to throw them out. Do you have to have your little Pach Shmito in the windowsill? But if you want to avoid it, and I would recommend trying to avoid it, especially families that have younger children, it's more complicated to have Kedusha Shvius in the home. So how many possibilities can we have? We can have vegetables that came from the sixth year. We can have vegetables that were imported from Chutz La'aretz. So obviously there's no Kedusha Shvius. I was in the store today and he showed me he's got tomatoes that were imported from Turkey. If they were picked here in Eretz Yisrael, they've got Kedusha Shvius. If they come from Turkey, they clearly do not. There is another issue, and one needs to be aware of this, and it's called Yevul Nochri. Look out on the Hechsherim, Yud, Beis, Vav, Lamed, Yevul Nochri. Yevul Nochri is a complicated, lengthy topic, which I don't want to get into. The bottom line is, it is non-Jewish owned here in Eretz Yisrael. Non-Jewish owned, belongs to a Nochri, Yevul growth, by a goy here in Eretz Yisrael. A big discussion, does that have Kedusha Shvius or does it not have Kedusha Shvius? Big discussion. Big machlaikas, Beis Yosef and the Mabit. What's Talocha Lamaisa? The Bedatz Eda Charedis, and this is the Minag in Yerushalayim for hundreds of years, they consider Yerokos, later on in the year Peiros, that are Yevul Nochri, not to have Kedushas Shvius. As far as the Bedatz Eda Charedis are concerned, Peiros or Yerokos that are Yevul Nochri means even though they're grown here in Eretz Yisrael during the Shemitah, but they do not have Kedusha Shvius, and one needs to know that is the general minhag. That is a general minhag. In Yerushalayim, it's certainly the minhag, and outside of the Yerushalayim, many are noyeg that way as well. I cannot stop there because one does have to be honest and say there is, however, an opinion that says not like that. It comes from a Mabit, Moron, Hachazin Ish, put this opinion very much back on the map, and he said one should be Machmir, that it does have Kedusha Shvius. So we have two opinions, so what am I supposed to do? As I mentioned, the general minag is to be Mekel. And anybody who wants to be Mekel, one shouldn't consider this as some B'di Eved or some sort of far-fetched kula, it is muta lechatchila to buy yevul nochri and not to treat it with kedusha shvius. If you want to be machmir, then you have to think very carefully why you want to be machmir and whether in your home it will be implementable, whether it will be practical to be machmir. If you've got a lot of young children and it's difficult to ensure that they finish off their soup and they eat the end of the cucumbers and it's going to be a whole balagan, I would not recommend even considering being machmir. Even if you think you can be machmir, one should consider it very carefully. If you want to be machmir, kodesh yom aloi v'tovo lo brocha, but one mustn't chas v'sholom in any way consider those who are mekel as some sort of bedieved, because it's absolutely not. It's muta lechatchila. It's muta lechatchila, and that must be clear. Which means, if you go into a store now, and you buy your vegetables, and it comes with a bedatz eda charedis hechsha, then you're fine. The bedatz eda charedis are now selling vegetables either that come from chutz la'aretz, or are from the shnas hashishis, or yevul nochri, because the bedatz eda charedis hold the yevul nochri has no kedusha shvius, and as I mentioned, anybody who wants to be soimach on that is 100% fine. In a minute, I'll mention the various stores that we have in our shchuna, exactly that you should know how to navigate them. Now, we have in our shchuna also the weekly sales. There's basically two mechirot shchunatiyot, which one needs to know. One is called just that, the mechira shchunatit. If I'm not mistaken, they sell from by the Tambor in Yecheskel Hanovi. There's another mechira called the Keren Mishnas Yosef. I think they sell from further along in Chagai Navi, opposite where we live. Those are slightly different. As we know, that's not a store. You can't just come in and buy as you choose. You've got to order in advance. They are not selling Yevul Nochri. So everything in the sales, not in the stores, will either be shishis or will be from Chutz La'aretz. I spoke to both of the heads of both of the sales, and this is what they guarantee me. This is the way it is at the moment. If there will be any changes later on in the year, then obviously, Bli Neder, I will update the Kehila. So, if, what's the difference between the two? If somebody decides that I want to avoid Yevul Nochri, because I'm Cheshish, maybe Yevul Nochri has Kedusha Shvius, and I want to avoid that, you don't have to. But if you want to, then you have what to rely on. You have these two Mechirot, which are perfectly valid options, and that way you avoided the whole issue. Here in Bet Shemesh, Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel I'm talking about, I went today twice to the Merkaz Hayerek. The Merkaz Hayerek, that's the vegetable store, the Pinah of the Merkaz there. They are running Kol Kuloi Alpi the Eda Charedis. Everything with the Eda Charedis. And the Makolet, Birkat Moshe, I spoke to the owner, everything, he showed me the Tu'udah, updated Tu'udah, with the Bedatz Eda Charedis. He showed me, he has cucumbers there in the store, which he said are not shishis, are not from Chutz La'aretz, they are Yevul Nochri. As I mentioned, this is the opinion of the Bedatz Eda Charedis, and as far as they're concerned, they have no Kedusha. They have no Kedusha, so you can treat them exactly in the same way as you treat them all the years. Again, I reiterate, if you want to buy there, and you want to be machmir, so one of the two. Either you avoid Yevul Nochri completely, or you buy Yevul Nochri, but then you have to treat it accordingly, al pi kedushas shvius. I called also, there's a store, I was told, Shefa Brocha, is that what it's called, in the beginning of Ramat Bet Shemesh Gimel Shtaim. I spoke to them and said the Menahel is not available, so at the moment I have no information on that. Bli Neder, if I find out, we'll send an email to the Kehillah. Those who do their shopping in Ramah Aleph, so the two big stores on either side by the Merkaz, Yesh Chesed and Shuk Mahadrin. There's also further up the road, the Nachal Sarek, Nativ HaChesed. All three of those stores are all running with the Bedatz Eda Charedis. If anybody does their shopping in Osher Ad, then that's running with the Heksha of Rav Efrati. As mentioned before, that is 100% Lechatchila. One could be Seimach on that. Absolutely. But again, they consider Yevul Nochri as not having Kedusha Shvius. Whether you want to go with that or not, that's your choice. As mentioned, the general minhag is to be mekel. One has to point out, there is what's called, and this might be well known, if not, it should be, what's called the Heter Mechira. Now, we're not going to get involved in the whole Heter Mechira, otherwise we'll be here till Yom Kippur. The Heter Mechira was essentially instituted here in Eretz Yisrael 140, 150 years ago. One has to know the history a little bit of here in Eretz Yisrael. Besides for abject poverty which existed here in Eretz Yisrael, it's incredible to think that the Shemitah was almost not kept. We're amazed. Every little 3, 4, 5-year-old is coming home from Cheder and Beis Yaakov with pictures and mivtzeim about Shemitah. People did not know about Shemitah in Eretz Yisrael. It's incredible to realize, but that's the reality. It was mainly introduced in the format that we have it today, in the Zechus of the great Chazon Ish. One old, weak, ill man put Shvius back on the map. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. But 140, 150 years ago, which is long before the times of the Chazon Ish, Shemitah was basically not being kept. There was a heter introduced, albeit by Rabbonim, big Talmidei Chachamim, the heter Mechira, which, again, I don't want to get into all halachics, it's extremely complicated, but basically it was Jewish-owned product, not non-Jewish, which was then sold afterwards. Even those who introduced it said quite clearly, Rav Kook was one of the big Rabbonim behind it, and he said, I'm saying quite clearly, it is a heter for now, because we have to somehow get Shemitah being kept, so we're going to look for every heter that we can. Nowadays, our tzibur are not samech on that. Now it's true, I'm aware, the heksher of the Rabbanut do involve in there, including their heksherim, heter mechira. We do not rely on that. This is not a political statement, this is just a fact. Even the Rabbanut themselves, part of the reason why they're including heter mechira is because they at least want to offer the hamoin am, those who are not perhaps zeicher to be on the levels that we would like to be in Yerushalayim, some sort of connection to Shemitah Kehilchasa, and therefore they're going with the Meheter Mechira. We avoid that at all costs. So if you see anything that says on it Heter Mechira, do not touch it, do not buy it. If you have already bought it and you've cooked it in your pot, and now what I'll do with my spoon and my knife, then be in touch with me. But Lechatchila, do not get involved in Heter Mechira at all. If anybody here does shopping in Ramah Aleph, there is a store in the best market. One has to be aware, I don't want to get involved at the moment, they have a heksher there called Oitza Ha'oretz. Oitza Ha'oretz, they're avoiding Heter Mechira, it's true, but they certainly have Peiros and Yerokos, at the moment Yerokos, that have Kedusha Shvius. That have Kedusha Shvius, and one has to be aware of that. This is not a Chumrah like Yevul Nochri is. They have Yerokos that absolutely have Kedusha Shvius. So, let's just sum up, there should be absolute clarity. The Heksherim that we are being Soymech on, the Bedatz Eda Charedis, the Heksher of Refrati, and that of She'eris. Bedatz Eda Charedis, Refrati, and She'eris. Anything, at the moment, like I said, fruits is not an issue, vegetables is. If it comes from Chutz La'aretz, it's no problem. If it comes from Shnas Hashishis, it's also not an issue. If it has Yevul Nochri, if that's the label on it, then as I mentioned, Me'ikra Din, it's absolutely fine, it has no Kedusha Shvius whatsoever. Those who want to be Machme can be Machme. You have to know, what do you do with a cucumber or a potato that has Kedusha Shvius? As we know, you can't be Mafsid it, whatever's left over needs to be put in a Pach Shmita, etc., etc. I don't want to go into detail now. If anybody wants to ask, they can ask afterwards. Now, you might be thinking to yourselves, listen, there's a tremendous maila in buying products which are not Yevul Nochri, but produced by Yidden, because that way we can support Jewish farmers, and maybe we should therefore go with a Heter Mechira. Heter Mechira, as mentioned, we are not relying on. If somebody wants to support Jewish farmers, that is a tremendous mitzvah, and there's a huge project here in Eretz Yisrael, which is run by Gedolei Yisrael, Moron Sarateir, Chaim Kanievsky, the Rosh Hashiva, Reb Gershon Edelstein Shlita, they are heading this project. The Shul, Darchi Yitzhak, obviously ran a campaign. If anybody still wants to get involved, a monthly sum, an annual sum, whatever it is, it's a tremendous mitzvah. Last Shmita, 7 years ago, Baruch Hashem, 300,000 dunam. The Eretz Yisrael was kept al pi Hilcha Shmita, and we're hoping Be'ezus Hashem, there'll be more this time around, but it's up to us, because if we support the farmers, we're talking about many of them who, without financial support, are perhaps not on a level where they could just leave anything. That's Beodayim, Shalonu, anybody who wants to get involved should get involved. Finally, with regard to Shemitah, I would just point out, those who want to buy flowers, one needs to aware, essentially, flowers do not have issues of Kedusha Shvius. Nonetheless, one should be particular to buy your flowers, or your husband should buy the flowers, in a store that has a hechsher. Because one needs to know, even if it's got no Kedusha Shvi'is, but obviously there's no heter to plant flowers on Shemitah. And I want to be sure that I'm buying flowers that have not been involved in any Isurim. There is a flower store in Ramah Aleph, there in Nachal Kishon, in the corner, I think it's called Gal Prachim. As far as I was managed to ascertain today, they have a hechsher, and they are going with Rav Efrati. Everything comes from Chutz Ta'aretz, and that can therefore be relied on. Obviously, shailas will crop up during the course of the year. If there are any changes to what was mentioned now, then Bli Neder will send an email. And of course, as ever, you're always welcome to call me or email me if there are shailas, and I'm sure there will be, that crop up during the course of the year. Yesh Mahadran online. So I tried to be Mavara. At the moment, it's unclear. Again, in Mitzvah Hashem, as soon as I do find out, then I will let you know. I just, actually, on the way to the shir, popped into a store. There is a store, I don't know the name, but they sell tavlinim, nuts there on the corner there. They're also going with the Bedatz Eda Charedis, and therefore that can be relied upon 100%. Maybe just for a moment or two, it's late, but we are 2 days now, less than 2 days away from the Yom HaDin, from Yom HaKippurim, HaBo'aleinu L'Toivah, which, on the one hand, is the Yom HaDin, it's Yomim HaNoiroim. On the other hand, the Mishnah says it's the biggest Yom Tov of the year. There's a tremendous simcha, there's a tremendous exhilaration. Anybody who's ever been in a shul at the time of Ne'ilah, the exhilaration, the feeling there can't be described. You can't really write it in words. Try telling somebody who's never been in a shul, you know, there's one day a year where we fast, we don't eat, we don't drink, we can't wear shoes, shower, wash our hands, and we stand on our feet all day davening, and it's an unbelievable experience. You can't explain that. You can't explain that, but we've all felt it, and it's a tremendous simcha. It's a time of year, especially for us in the Kehillah, to perhaps look back at Baruch Hashem, what has been a very, very special year, a year, a lot of Siyata D'Shmaya in the Kehillah. All the Kohelim, all three, morning, afternoon, and night, have all expanded, Baruch Hashem. The Oitzah Sforim in the Shul has doubled in the last year. We were Zoicha, as you all know, the Mashkiach, Rav Bax from Gateshead, has joined our Kehillah and has begun giving Shurim, Vadim, a lot of Chavrusas. We have this year begun our programming for the boys and for the girls, Tzeirim, the Shabbos afternoon program. Baruch Hashem, finally, on the wall of the shul, there's a big picture of what the new building, Be'ezus Hashem, is going to look like, and we're hoping after Yom Tov, things will now really get going. Just in the summer, if I'm not mistaken, 12 families joined the Kehillah. The Kehillah has expanded, and there were a lot of simchas, bli ayin hara, in the Kehillah. It's been a very, very special year, and I cannot not thank, I'd like to thank really everybody, the whole Kehillah, on behalf of myself and my wife and my family, for the tremendous outpouring of love that you showed our family in our simcha of the birth of the twins recently. Maybe I forgot to mention one of the makolets in the shchuna, and that's our house. We have so much food, Baruch Hashem, from the Kehillah. Thanks to you, it's such a tremendous chesed, and we were overwhelmed. We were mamash overwhelmed by the chesed, and my mother-in-law was here as well with us, helping us, and she was bowled over like we were, the chesed and the avon. So many people in the Kehillah came to me and told me that people are wishing them mazel tov, because everybody feels it's a family simcha, and this is really what our Kehillah is all about, so I cannot thank you enough. However, what does it mean to thank? You know, the moshel is told, I don't know whether it happened or not, but a child is swimming and he's drowning in the sea, and all of a sudden this lifeguard jumps in and saves him. Saved his life. And the child comes out of the water and he's spluttering and gasping for breath. And he looks up and he says to him, "Wow, I can't believe you've saved my life. How can I possibly thank you? How can I thank you for saving my life?" And he said to the young child, he looked at him and said, "Don't thank me. Just make sure that your life was worth saving." When we thank the Kehillah and we thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for a successful year in Siyata D'Shmaya, Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need our thanks. But we say every day in davening, "Moedim Anachnu Loch." We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us life, Shechi Yasonu. And then we daven, and we say, "Please, Kein Techayenu, give us life, Uskaimenu." And how do we finish off? La'ovdecho b'leiv avshalim. In order to be better, Evdei Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in turn, turns around and says, "Don't thank me, just make sure your life is worth saving." And if indeed we have been zeicha, as we have, Bli Ayin Hara, to tremendous Siyata Deshmaya, and the growth of the Kehillah, the Gashmias, the Baruchnias. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want to hear our thanks. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to hear more tefillahs and more learning and more shiurim and more chesed in the Kehillah. That's the way that we can really express our thanks to the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. The Mashkiach, Reb Volba, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, once gave a shiur. And he said, every person here in Eretz Yisrael, even the one who seems to be the most removed, Chiloni, he's a Ma'amin. He's a Ma'amin. He believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I can prove it, says Reb Volba. Because there was once a story, he said, I know of somebody who we would consider completely secular, Chinoli, complete Chiloni. He was drowning in the sea, and guess what? He looked up to the Shemayim and he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tatziloti, HaKadosh Baruch Hu save me. And indeed, he was saved. So you see that everybody is really a Ma'amin Bashem. So after the Shir, somebody approached him and asked a bit of a sharp question. He said to Mashkech, he said, tell me, this person who you describe as a Ma'amin, because he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please save me. The next morning, did he put on tefillin? He knew well, the answer is, no, he didn't. So what do you mean he's a Ma'amin? But the sharp question got back an even sharper answer. Revolver said to him, you daven with all your koyach on Yom Kippur, what do you look like on the next morning? And this is a question that we're all really asking ourselves, because sometimes, hopefully not always, and maybe I'm just talking on my own personal experience over here, but we prepare ourselves during Elul and Yom Neroim, and we get to the exhilaration of Yom Kippur, whether we're able to come to shul or daven at home or look after the family, and we feel this tremendous kirvas Elohim li toiv, this ruchni high. But then, what are we like the next morning? What are we like after Sukkot and come the winter? Is it all forgotten? Is everything lost? So I just want to share with you one idea which I think is worth thinking about. We have less than 48 hours before Yom Kippur. But let's try and answer this question a little bit, because this is the question that many of us tackle. The painful question, I was chayzer b'tshuva, I tried so hard. I struggled in my limud Torah, or my tefillah, or my middos, or my chesed, and I really genuinely tried hard during Elul. And why come Cheshvan, Kislev, Tevis, is it all forgotten? In fact, I can't even remember what it was that I was makabel on myself for Yom Kippur. And the answer is, can be. We just read a couple of weeks ago a very, very short pasuk. Ki seitze lamilchomo aloivecho. As you go to fight war against your enemy. Who's your enemy over here? So of course, a simple translation is the enemy. Physical enemy, but many of the Mefarshim explain this is referring to the Yetzer Hara. That's our ultimate enemy. And it says, Unasonoi Hashem aleikecho biyodecho, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give you that siyata deshmaya to overcome the Yetzer Hara. To overcome the Yetzer Hara. That's the oyev. And what does it say in the next pasuk? And then you will see in battle the eshes yifas toyar, and you'll want to bring her back. Under some circumstances, you're allowed to marry her. And what does Rashi say there? And this is the key. Rashi says, Torah is giving special dispensation because there's a Yetzer Hara. There's a Yetzer Hara. Person has a Yetzirah, so under some circumstances there's Heter. One second. Didn't the Torah just say that you went to battle and HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the Oyev, the enemy, the Yetzirah, in your hand? So you've overcome the Yetzirah. So what does it mean in the next Pasuk that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving you a leniency against the Yetzirah? Which Yetzirah? You managed to conquer the Yetzirah. And the answer must be and is, because if you conquer the Yetzer Hara today, but he comes back again tomorrow. Because the Gemara says that the Yetzer Hara is compared to a zvuv, a fly. We all know the fly comes and is annoying and we flick it away, and then a minute later he's back again, and we overcome him a third time and a fourth and a fifth, and he comes back a sixth. We have to learn from the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara always comes back. This fly, you can flick him away 8 times, he'll come back a 9th. 24 times, he'll come back a 25th. But there's another trick. There's another trick, and this is the Yesod. There's another trick that the Yetzer Hara and the fly employs. And what is that? When that fly comes from the right-hand side and you knock him away, what does he do? He comes all the way around and he comes from the left. And you knock him away from the left and he comes from the top, and then he comes from the bottom, and then he comes from the front and the back, and he always tries a new direction. And that's how he gets the better of us. Because we think we've overcome him once or twice or three times. He not only comes back, but he comes back from a new path, a new direction, and we have to learn from this. We have to learn from this. All of this and everything I wanted to share with you really lies in one single solitary letter. Not a posuk, not a word, one letter. Which letter is that? The Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created our world with the letter Hey. Hey, Hey is part of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. This world was created with a Hey. Why with a Hey? So the Gemara says, because at the bottom of the hay, it's empty. It's wide open. Person slips out. Person can fall out. Person slips up. Says the Gemara, one second, but in the letter hay, that's not the only place that's open. Top left-hand corner, it's also open there. So the Gemara says, yes, yes, because even a person who slips out, but you can always make your way back in. You can do tshuva. So what's the obvious question? If I fell out at the bottom, why can't I just come back the same wherever I fell out? Why'd I have to go back a different direction? Says the Gemara, because it won't work. It won't work. And if you fell out, you have to enter from a new direction. This is the yesod of the letter Hey. This is the yesod of being chayzer b'tshuva. This is the lesson that we learn from the fly. The fly not only comes back time and time again, but it comes back from a different direction. It starts off on the right and it'll end up on the left, and from the north and the south. It always comes back from a different direction. And this, I think, is the answer to our question. But I tried so hard in Elul. And I tried so hard during Yom Noiroyim. So what happened to my tshuva? And the answer is, that wasn't tshuva. That was chizuk. That's a tremendous thing. You're a mischazik. But that's not tshuva. If somebody struggles, for example, a man comes on time for shachris every day, but sometimes he fails and he realizes, you know, I'm coming late too often. I'm really going to try hard this Elul to come on time, and he does. That's not being chayzer b'tshuva. That's chizuk. So he strengthened himself. That's a wonderful thing, but we all know when you strengthen yourself after a while, it just wears off. He didn't come back from a new direction. He didn't forge a new path. He just came back exactly where he slipped out first time round. He fell out at the bottom of that hay and made his way back. So of course, eventually he'll fall out again. But if you only would have forged a new path, he would have made a new mahalach for himself. How indeed would I make it possible, and not just possible, probable, that I will come on time for davening every day? That's being chayzer b'tshuva. That's being chayzer b'tshuva. Not just chizuk. I speak Lashon Hara too much, but Elul, I really try hard and I spoke less Lashon Hara, so where did it all go wrong in after Sukkos? I was chayzer b'tshuva. I wasn't chayzer b'tshuva. I was just mischazik. I tried hard, which is a tremendous thing, but that's not being chayzer b'tshuva. If I really want to avoid Lashon Hara, maybe I should study the halachas of Lashon Hara more. Understand the severity of the Issa, that's a new path now. I'm not just entering the hay exactly where I fell out first time round, I'm entering a different path. I never appreciated how severe Lashon Hara is, but I do now because I'm learning the halachas. That's tshuva. That's tshuva. That's the fly who comes from the right in the beginning and the left afterwards. That's falling out the hay at the bottom and re-entering at the side. There is somebody in our kehillah, a tachshit, who came to me 2 or 3 years ago. He said to me, I feel I need a chizuk in coming on time for davening. And he said to me, I've decided I'm taking on one day a week where if I come late, I'm giving 50 shekel to tzedakah. Very nice to give tzedakah, but I don't know if I can afford to give 50 shekel every time I come late on a Wednesday. If I'm not mistaken, we're 3 years down the line, he's never come late once on a Wednesday. Not once. That's tshuva. That's tshuva. Merely to say, I'm going to try harder. So you're trying, and hello, everyone's trying harder, and then it all dissipates. But I've got a new approach. I never had this hanging over my head before, a 50 shekel knas, as it were. But what's more beautiful is he just came up to me 2 weeks ago and he showed me a little sefer that he's learning. It wasn't just an external mechayev that he's got 50 shekel dangling over his head. He said, I've been learning this sefer. It showed all the beauty and the inyonim and the chiyuv to come on time to davening. He said, maybe we should start a kvias in this sefer. And if I'm not mistaken, now he's coming twice a week, three times a week on time. And it's that's chayza b'tshuva. How long will it take for him to come on time? Every day? 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? It's not a rush. It's more likely that that will be sustained rather than that's it all out. I'm going to be a tremendous chizuk. That will ebb away. That will just evaporate. That's not tshuva. That's not tshuva. And therefore, in conclusion, we have 2 days left before Yom Kippur. And people always ask this question. So what do I need to be mischazakin? Everybody knows exactly what they need to be mischazakin. They need to know. They know what to be chayza b'tshuva. But let's not confuse. Let's not mix up chizuk and tshuva. Coming on time to davening is obviously not perhaps the most practical example when we're talking to the neshe of the kela. But whatever it may be, somebody struggles in Lashon Hara, in tznius, in chesed, in middos. Every person knows where they need, not just chizuk, to be chayza b'tshuva. The secret is be chayza b'tshuva, not be mischazik. Chizuk is a wonderful thing, but it doesn't last. Tshuva lasts. Because when you're chayza b'tshuva, I'm now in a different lane. I'm re-entering a different direction. And if I'm struggling with chesed, or tznius, or kas, or lashon hara, or tefillah, or Shabbos, whatever it may be, my Kabbalah this year is not, I'm going to try harder. That's not tshuva. And we'll end up being disappointed. And this time next year, we'll have to come back and ask the question again, what happened to our tshuva in Tovshin Pei Beis? We don't want to have to answer that question again. We want to, be'ezras Hashem, this time next year, look back and say, we were chayza b'tshuva. We made a small change, a realistic change, a practical change, an implementable change, but something that was real and it lasted. And the reason why it lasted was because it was real tshuva. It wasn't just chizuk. I'm going to try harder. Trying harder doesn't work. It lasts for a day, a two, sometimes a week. After Yom Tov, then we come to Hanukkah and we can't even remember what it was we were trying to be mischazikin. If we're chayza b'tshuva, try and think. Spend 5 minutes. Everyone should try and spend 5 minutes from now to Yom Kippur in thinking, not only which areas do I need to be chayza b'tshuva, but how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? How am I going to adopt an appreciation for that midah that I'm trying to acquire? How am I going to create a new mahalach for myself? If I find that sometimes I'm getting too angry with my children, my mahalach is not going to be, right, I'm going to try harder now. Let's work out the root of the problem. Maybe I'm overtired. I don't get enough rest. So I'm going to change my seidayim. I'm going to get more rest. That's tshuva. That's tshuva. Because I'm on a different path now. I'm a more rested person. Now there's real more chance I'm going to get angry less. Less tense. I'm just giving an example. Every person will try and think of an example for themselves. But that's what we have to learn from the fly. Fly starts in one direction, he comes back from another. And if we learn from him, then we will overcome him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should indeed give us all the siyata d'shemaya, not just to be mischazik, but to chayza b'tshuva shleima, not enormous, unrealistic kabbalos, small, real, and meaningful kabbalos, with a new derech, a new way to implement them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezaka us, as we said in the beginning, to feel that we are a young baby in the hands of his mother, this menuchas nafshay, to be able to endure hardships with serenity, the menuchas hanefesh. We should be zeicha, all of us, the kehila together, to continue to grow, not just begashmes, but more importantly, beruchnias. We should see more shiurim, and we should see more tefillos bekavona, and even more chesed in the kehila. And I cannot thank the nashay enough. for everything they've done, not only for my family, but for all the families in the Kiryat during the year. And Be'ezus Hashem, we have plans after Yom Tovim to be mechazik this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should be mezakeh us all. We should daven well. Our tefillahs should be in a scabble. Those who are not able to daven because they're looking after their families, that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to do in Yom Kippur. But either way, a minute, two, five, we're able to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Please let us feel the menuchas hanefesh of the Bali Boiteach in Shmita. We should all be zeicha to Yeshuais and Brochais, refuais for those who need them, and a gemar chasima teva.